G'day and welcome to the Breaking Through podcast. Now, the last episode of me interviewing guests was in November. I took a break, like I always do. Didn't expect it to be this long. But when you've been doing this shit for, I don't know, we're heading, you know, kind of into our fourth year this year, shit gets tough. And I want to give my opinion on other shit. So instead of me and Jazz just talking about what we think, I've had one particular person message me and remind me that I've been organized to do a podcast with them, and I've kept forgetting, and they could be my most persistent, that's it, and it's good that I had you to keep me in check. It's Sarah from Midrift. How are you going?
I'm good, Brendan. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at the moment. As I said, most persistent. We never usually take this much of a break, but we have been doing the other podcast, and I think for this year, although me and Jazz have really good chats, it's still going to be really important to interview acts and get their, not just their opinions on their music and where that comes from, but everything that's happening in the Australian music scene. And pretty fucked at the moment with how everything's going, so we'll get your opinion on that a little bit later. But I want to bring up the first time that me and you remember meeting each other. No, this is what I mean, the first time we both remember.
Because the
first time I don't remember, the second time you don't remember, and then the third time that we both remember was at Big Sound.
Yes, Big Sound.
And Big Sound for me, I just love going up to Brisbane. I love seeing gigs in Brisbane. It's always good fun. Just, you know, good 80K from where I am. And I go there to kind of see the upcoming talent, see the people I've interviewed usually. And I always think of it from obviously just a podcasting view, and, you know, if I think these guys are going to be successful or why I think they're going to be successful. But I watched, did we watch Ra Ra? Ra Ra Viper,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think I ran into you briefly.
Or Betty Taylor. I think I, like.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember, because we were with Cal for a bit, and I remember standing next to you and you were watching whoever we were watching, and I was like, as an artist, I wonder what's going through her head. Like, as someone that's in a band watching someone at an event like that, what goes through your head when you're watching bands like Rum Jungle, Betty Taylor, who's, you know, they've only been a band for a short amount of time but are getting, you know, that successful track. When you watch bands like that, what are you taking in? Are you just taking in the experience for what it is, or like little pointers or little things that they do that maybe you can incorporate to who you guys are as a band?
Yeah, well, I kind of, honestly, when I feel like I'm watching, I kind of try and remove myself from me being an artist, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, because I just, well, especially that Betty Taylor show, that was incredible. Like, the girls just absolutely killed it. And I just loved watching their energy, and I loved watching how they interact on stage. And so definitely, I guess it is in my head, like, I love how they're doing that, but I do try and kind of turn that off in my head a bit and just be there in the moment and enjoy, you know, watching who I'm watching and not thinking, oh, what can I do? What can I do?
How hard of a balance is that? Because I struggle with it. Like, even just going to Laneway a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't just enjoy it as a punter. I was sitting there going, like, for those certain sets, going, oh, I'd love to ask this, or why they're doing that, why they're doing this. How do you balance that going from, like, punter to artist, or is it like a 50-50? Like, or do you just tell your artist self to shut the fuck up?
Yeah, well, it depends how punter I'm feeling. Depends how many drinks in I am. But no, it could be like a 50-50 split, maybe. But I do try and turn it off a bit more than 50-50. But, yeah, it just depends as well, like, what act I'm watching and if – actually, no, you can apply it to anyone that you watch and think, you know, that's something that I might want to do, or, like, the way that they speak between songs and stuff like that, that's would be down the avenue that I want to do and that kind of thing. And you notice when people do things really well.
Rum Jungle weren't at that one, were they? I think they were the one before. No, it was Dice that came up to this one.
Yeah, Dice. But yeah,
I had the Rum Jungle boys on for the first time in 2021, and have been mates with the boys ever since. And to watch their trajectory has been awesome. They deserve everything. Went to Big Sound, not last year, year before.
I think they were there last year. Oh, yeah.
They might have done. No, they were, because I was talking shit. No, I remember. I was they were there. And, like, I'm sure you would have seen them. And to then go and play with them, and, like, everyone would have seen their trajectory over the last little bit.
Mm.
What do you take in from them, especially, like, not just being able to see them play, but, like, obviously you supporting them? Is it all just kind of like a growth thing and kind of just shadowing who they are? Because, like, their peak is, well, not, I shouldn't say peak, but, like, they are gradually getting bigger.
Yeah.
What do you take from that when, you know, you can see it from backstage and see how their crowd react? Because, like, you get, like, a little notebook out and go, fuck, they do this. Or is it just, like, a let's just, you know, remember the moment type thing?
When I watch the Rummy Boys, I actually am very much let's enjoy the moment. I love, they're just the biggest sweethearts, like, as people and, like, on stage. And I feel like that really comes out on stage. So I actually really just enjoy watching them. And I don't even, they're definitely, like, over the last year are just absolutely just blowing up. And I'm so proud of them and I'm so happy for them, because I just feel like they really deserve it. And I think their tour just completely sold out. So watching them grow has been awesome, and then being able to support them on that show was just absolutely incredible. I just loved it.
What's that do to you guys as a band? Like, being able to support someone like Rum Jungle, like, you're still in the infancy of a band, you've only got a few songs out, but, like, when you get stuff like that, does that confirm that you guys are on the right track when they go, like, oh, we want them to support us or whatever?
Yeah, I think so. I felt really, really stoked that we got that show. And it feels really, I don't know, it was just really nice to be able to play that. And as you said, like, we've only got a few songs out, and we, I guess we haven't been together, like, as long as other people have. So that was like it was such a sick show and such a sick opportunity. And we were really lucky to do that.
How long does that high last, like, after you've done a show with Rum Jungle? Is it, like, just that night? Is it that weekend? Is it, like, a week where, like, you know, shit could be going on at work and you just don't give a fuck because you've done that show?
No, it's funny that you asked that, because it's from when you get the email. Your agent says, hey, you've got this gig, and you just get so, so excited. And I think we found out we were away recording, and we got the email confirming that we were opening for them, and I was just stoked. Like, the boys were like, Sarah, shut up. Like, I remember I called them on the phone and I, like, screamed, and they're like, oh, I wish I didn't have my earphones in. But no, so the high starts from when you get told, I think. And for me, it keeps building and building, you know, until the show. And the funny thing is that 2 weeks before the show, I actually had to get my wisdom teeth out.
Nice. How many did you get out?
I got all four of them. It was an emergency.
Oh. Yeah, I've been there, mate.
Oh, fucked.
And when people get, like, a one out and complain and it's, like, so sore, it's like, nah, mate, you get four out. That's the king shit.
The thing was is that I was going to keep dealing with the pain until we'd finished the gig, because, like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, all that's important to me is that we get this gig done and it's done well. And I can't get my wisdom teeth out before this because it could affect my voice. And obviously, like, my face was really puffy. But the main thing is my voice. But it ended up being an end. It got to 3 days and I couldn't really eat anything. And I just said, I have to get these out. So that was the Wednesday. And then I had a week and 2 days to be normal for the gig. So the excitement.
That's an all right timeline. That's not it's cutting it close.
It wasn't awful. But I think the day of the gig was genuinely the first day I could. Even then, I don't know, opening my mouth was a bit tough, but I feel like when you're performing, you've got so much adrenaline anyway, so you're kind of forgetting about the stitches in your mouth.
I'm sure that would have helped the recovery process leading up to it as well, like, all just that nervous energy going into it. I'm sure that would help being okay. What's that timeline look like between getting told that you're going to play to the actual show?
So you get told, well, it does depend what it is. We got told in early January, and then we got to announce it maybe a week after that. And then it's funny, before you announce, you feel like you've got this big secret that you can't tell anyone. And then we played on the 16th of February, I think it was. So it was about like a little bit over a month we knew.
And a month... Oh, no, you could tell people. So was it just that week you couldn't tell people? And it was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Now, as I said at the start, me and Jazz have been doing a side project called The Breakdown, if no one's been listening. If you have, which has been nice. We've kind of been talking about festivals cancelling. Groovin's obviously cancelled recently. Mm. We've been talking about it from like a punter. She works in events, so that type of, you know, mindset. As an up-and-coming band, when you see, you know, Aussie staple festivals like that cancel, that's, you know, everyone wants to play at festivals. If you're in a band, you know, it would be a big income for you guys, for any band that could get it. When you guys see that type of stuff, what's that do to the band mindset? Does it make you guys feel a bit anxious about the future? Or, like, is it just going to go back to, like, maybe just being gigs? Like, how does that work through your head?
Seeing that was a little bit disheartening. And I know, and seeing Falls being cancelled as well, that was, and it's festivals that, you know, you've all, like, in my head, I've always wanted to play at. And because Groovin is so special, I think because it is a little bit more regional, it's like a very Australian festival. So it was definitely disheartening to see that they did have to cancel. And I guess, I don't know, I haven't gotten to the stage where I've been like stressed about it, I suppose, because in my head I'm just thinking, surely like it'll be okay next year. But I guess, I don't know, but I do try not in. Like, I do try not to get into that negative mindset of, like, oh, no, like, there's not going to be any festivals for me to play at because, you know, when one door closes, another opens, I think. Even though it is sad, I think it just, you know, the next, I don't know, you know what I mean?
We've been talking about it a little bit, and everyone's got different opinions on it. But it's also, like, we all want the music scene to succeed here in Australia. Obviously, it's great for us punters, it's great for you artists, it's just great for everyone in general.
Yeah.
But I want to take it back to gigs. Do you feel like when you hear those things cancel and they go like cost of living and they go this and they go that, do you feel like it's affecting gigs, like your gigs as much? Or do you have like that kind of, because Jazz speaks about like late minute ticket buying.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to push your gig because, you know, you've only sold this many tickets at this point. Do you guys kind of get anxious about that type of stuff?
100%. And I know when we're doing headliner shows, I'm pushing at least a month in advance. And it's funny because I'm like, come on, guys, like buy your tickets. But the opposite side of that is when I'm buying tickets, I'm leaving till the last minute too. So you're at a funny standpoint of being frustrated with people for not just getting them, and then yourself, you wait until closer to the date to get them. So I do understand, but it is very stressful when you're not sure what the outcome is being. And you need to break even at least. And you need to have this many people coming, a certain amount of, you know, tickets sold, so you know you're not going to lose money. And it is stressful when you're finding out on the day, oh, yeah, like, awesome, it's sold out now. But I've spent the last 3 weeks really stressed about not even breaking even. So, you know, we've been really lucky. I mean, it's always come to for shows that we've put on, because the day of the gig, it usually, you know, you sell 50% of the tickets, if not more. And it does come too, and I need to remind myself that, but it is stressful for sure.
Is that people being lazy and just not wanting to buy them straight up, or is that people like just not having the money straight up? But for like little gigs, like you're not spending that much money. Like,
yeah,
surely we can buy it a bit earlier. I just think, don't get me wrong, I went to Falls for $110 the last one that was on. and yeah. I bought my tickets 2 days before.
Yeah.
Definitely been in that spot, and yeah. it's great. But now I've got the other cap on, and like, run me through those emotions the week before. Like, how many times are you getting told by the venue that, you know, we might cancel because you haven't sold this many tickets, blah, blah. Like, what's that week leading into it when it is, you know, a low ticket at that point?
Personally, we haven't had, like, a venue say that to us.
Really? Oh, I guess in Brisbane it would be a little bit.
No, and we've been really lucky, like, with the headliners that we have put on. But I guess the week, I don't know, the week leading up, don't talk to me kind of thing. Like, it is the pressure is on and it's kind of all you can
do. To sell tickets or because of the show?
The funny thing is to sell, yeah, the sad thing is like it should be about the show and it should be about the music and how well you think you're going to perform. But for me personally, I can't speak for the other boys, but for me, it's about tickets. And it's like, because I know if people, like, there's going to be a good show, you know, like I believe that and I trust in that, but it's...
Take your own hole a little bit.
Well, it's like when you put so much time and effort into rehearsing and, you know, I think it's like the unknown, unless like I do get stressed about getting sick or something ridiculous happening, like losing my voice or something, but it's like...
Getting your wisdom teeth out.
Like stuff like that, the unknown, that is stressful, but it's like... You and your band put in so much time and so many hours into rehearsing, but it's more the unknown. Like, we know that we've rehearsed, but we don't know how many tickets are going to sell because that's always up to, you know.
Is that off-putting at all, like, to not be 100% sure, like, how many people, you know, if you're going to break even or not just because you've got to push tickets so hard?
I think... After a few times of doing it, I've relaxed a bit for sure. I remember the first time I did it in a band for this one, I was very, very, very stressed. And now I just tell myself, like, it's okay, it'll be okay, they will sell.
What's that do for your mental health, though, leading into it? My anxiety be going through the roof.
Yeah, I try not to let it get to me anymore because, you know, when you get stressed, you get sick. And then if you get sick, you can't sing. So I really try and cool it. But yeah.
Let's get into the new track. This is the, well, I think it's maybe the third song you've sent me to get on the pod for. And you might have told me 3 times to listen to this song as well. And I was injured at this point, but I was still at work and I was like, fuck, I've got nothing to do. Oh, Sarah sent me the song. I'm going to listen to the song. And it's called Ice Cubes and Hot Tea. I messaged back to you and I was like, I think this is your best song. In the order of like the songs that have been out, are you doing them in order of creation?
No.
In what order was this one?
This was the boys' favorite song, the rest of the boys in the band. And this was, I've had the tracks for about 8 months now, maybe. So they've been completed for about 8 months. And from the people that I've shown the demos to, this has been people's favorite song that they've said.
So why
wait?
Have it out at this point? Yeah, why wait?
Because I think in my head I'm going, I don't know, there's 2 ways of kind of looking at it. In my head.
Pain to hear both.
Yeah. So, well, actually the band and I had really long discussions about this. My personal favorite of what we released was Byron Boy, which we ended up releasing first. Oh, sorry, not first. We released it second.
Second?
However, the boys, I was saying, you know, you should always be putting your best work forward and you should always put your best work forward. But I also understand from a marketing point of view, the more followers you have, the more attention you're going to get. So it's, you've got
Well, kind of. I don't know. It goes both ways. I understand both logics. For me, in the end, I was thinking Byron Boy is my favourite. So to me, we're putting our best work forward. And the boys are still happy because they think Ice Cube's is the favourite, and we're putting it forward now, which is, you know, we've got more followers now, we've got a bit more traction now, and so that's why we're putting out the favourite now, as opposed to when we were just starting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you can also argue that the way you get followers is, and supporters and whatnot, is by putting out a song like this, and they'll be like, oh, cool, I'm keen to hear what's next, because you can only make a first impression once.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can see both sides, but I remember listening to this a couple weeks ago, and just like everything about it, like Byron Boy, it's good, but like I've heard a lot of songs like it. I think this one, like, this is like your sound. I feel like there's, you know, it just feels like something different. The way your tone is in this one, even just the tempo, like I really like the storytelling in this one. And I just feel like it sounds a little bit, you didn't recreate the wheel, but you just put a little bit of mid-drift spice on it. And I feel like that's what a lot of bands struggle to do. They try and take too much from what they've been listening to, but this one I really liked, and I was like, yeah, this one's it. I'm happy to get you guys on this one. In terms of recording, was this one of the first then?
So the first song released was Know Your Name. That was the first one that we recorded. And then we went away and recorded three tracks at the same time down in Central Coast, New South Wales. So this is one of three that we recorded at the same time.
Because, like, that kind of just takes out my whole next kind of comment, because I thought, like, I could kind of, you know, hear the growth going from, like, one to four. But maybe it's just like, you know, different songs have different vibes. Are you hearing, you know, with each song that comes out, like, especially in this order, what you want to be as a band, or like the growth that you want to see as a band?
Interesting question, I guess. It's hard for me to say, because each song to me, like, so I'm referring to the three that we went away and recorded.
Yeah.
They all had, in my mind, such different vibes.
Yeah.
So to me,
I was not expecting this vibe at all. Yeah. So it caught me a little bit by surprise, which is good though.
Well, that's good that you think it's good. See, I was kind of worried that people think it was a bit too different, that they wouldn't like it. Because it is more on that soul-y kind of, it is like a little bit more soul. It's R&B and it's a bit more jazzy almost. Which is kind of like the track that we put out before this was like a lot more rocky and a lot heavier.
Yeah.
And then before that it was Byron Boy, which was that indie chill kind of like vibey kind of thing. So I guess I was worried between jumping to too many things. It's like, well, what are you doing kind of thing.
I mean, it shows your versatility super early, which is good. No one can say that they can put you in one box, which you never want to be put in. So that's good that you have it in that. But I think your voice, your voice has that versatility in it. So it's lucky that you can kind of genre jump a little bit and maybe just incorporate, you know, the rock with a bit of soul. Like, I think your voice really suits the soul kind of jazzy stuff, which, you know, listening to Byron Boy and that type of stuff, I wasn't expecting to come from you guys, so it's good that you can show that. Obviously, you guys have genre jumped a little bit so far. Has the reception been different that you've been able to see?
It's kind of. People really surprise me. I know I told you when you listened to the song, you said, this is my favourite of yours so far, and I said, I'm surprised to hear you say that. And then I don't know why I said that, because it's like, you should think that every song is your, like, you know, you should personally think that every song is your best song.
But everyone's got their favorite kid, mate.
Yeah.
Like everyone's got one thing that, you know, it could be their first song, it could be their most recent.
Yeah. And I sent this song to, like, I've sent all the songs to all my mates, you know. The general favorite was Ice Cube's, but it's funny because before Ice Cube's was out, they had like between a few of them, and a lot of people told me their favorite song was Make You, which was like the rocky kind of one. And I was really surprised that my friends who are usually into kind of like chill kind of stuff said, Sarah, by far this is the best song that's come out of Midriff. We really like this. And I was really surprised because I didn't think that they would be into that kind of thing.
Are you telling me that people have different music tastes and that, like, people... is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, but it always takes me by surprise when people say that they like something over something else when I was expecting it to go the other way. But it's a nice... It was definitely a nice surprise.
You sent this to me, and the way I listened to it, you didn't send me a file. You sent me a link to your Triple J Unearthed, and you released it how many weeks in advance on there?
It came out... maybe on the 20th of January on Earth.
How the fuck did you manage that?
Well, it usually takes a couple... I don't know. It usually takes a couple of weeks on Earth to come out. So I just wanted to be really certain that it would definitely be out by the release date. And I don't think... I don't know if there's like a... Because it's kind of taking different times... I just wanted to be prepared, so I put it out 5 weeks in advance. I put it forward to Triple J 5 weeks in advance, so it would be available by the time we had it out, which was probably overkill, but I just like to be more
so it's prepared. Not like upload and then like it's up there, like you have to wait for it to be approved.
Well, that one was actually ready, like it was approved maybe the next day, and I was like, oh, I've completely overshot this now. But I remember with I think Byron Boy, that took a couple of weeks, so...
That must be frustrating that, like, you don't know the time period or schedule on that one, especially when you want it to line up.
Yeah, I suppose. But I guess it was handy in this case. I could send people the link to Triple J on Earth. I don't feel as though people are constantly checking... Well, in my personal opinion, I don't think people are... constantly checking on Earth, so it's not like it spoilt the song for me.
Yeah, no, I know they push it, but I don't think Triple J on Earth get it. Like, I think it's mainly just the people that work at Triple J on Earth that get to check it. I would love it to get checked all the time, but even I don't check it all the time, and I'm always looking for new music. Plans coming up for you guys then? Like, we're at the start of 2024, almost a quarter of the way through. What's the kind of mindset going into the rest of the year?
I've got quite a few goals that I definitely want to, like, this year for me, I just want to go, like, full steam ahead kind of thing.
What's that look like?
We're going to release an EP in June, 6-track EP in June, which I'm really excited for.
To keep up to date with all things Breaking Through, make sure to check out our socials.